Hello and welcome to this week's Comic Roast. I'm your host, Scott. You can find me on Twitter at XOrsonX. I'm here with Brian. You can find on Twitter at Pure Rock Fury. We're here with Chris. You can find on Twitter at SkateXEdge. And we'll be joined shortly by Damien, who can find on Twitter at Damien Johnston. Our number one for today is Alters on Aftershock Comics by Paul Jenkins and Leela Lees. And our over-under for the week is TV or movie serial killers. So get ready for more of that. Don't forget to check out our Facebook at facebook.com/reviewandroast and head to comicroast.com to check out all of our past podcast goodness.
Should have probably did over-under actual serial killers.
I don't necessarily have a favorite in that category, so I think we're probably good.
I don't know how well that would go over.
I don't know about you guys. I'm like a John Wayne Gacy fan.
Whoa. Yeah. Ted Bundy's where it is.
Are you guys recording?
We literally just started.
Literally.
Oh, okay.
Like you joined at a perfect time, actually.
Nice.
Yeah, we're debating what our favorite actual serial killers were.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, kind of weird, but hey.
They're all so good, you know?
All right, so, I don't know.
I mean, we can go with the hometown favorite, you know, John Wayne Gacy.
I mean, kind of feel like you have to. It's like sports teams. You got to stick with where you live.
You know what? I actually saw
Well, you know what?
Thing.
If that's the case, boom. My underrated is H.H. Holmes.
Oh, yeah, he's fucked up, too. And that's another Chicago one.
Right? We have the best stuff. Best pizza, best serial killers, best hot dogs. I mean, you know, it's all good.
I actually saw this thing on YouTube.
It best rats. Like this,
listen. No, listen. It's this channel called Dark Five, and they always do this top five or whatever. But they did five pieces of art done by serial killers. And you're probably – all five of them were quite possibly the most fucked up things I've ever seen in my life. Especially John Wayne Gacy's art.
Is there a reason, or are you just going to leave us hanging?
I would just say go see it yourself. I can't really remember. All I remember is watching it, and I was just like, dude, this shit is like a fucking clear sign that something's wrong in River City. Well, I think some of it was done from, like, when they were in prison, and some of it was done from, like, you know, like, before, like, you know, like,
before
because like, before they started their killing sprees, but regardless, they were all jacked up.
You guys really got to see this piece. It's from his pre-prison era. No?
Leaves a transmitter, circles the globe in search of a listener. Can you hear me now?
All right. Moving along, I don't know if anyone else is keeping up with it or not, but I just caught up with Department H and just want to talk about how much I'm digging that book.
Yeah, I think I'm caught up. The one of the big turtle, the newest one on the cover.
Actually, there's one more after that.
Okay, well, I am not caught up then, but I am also enjoying it.
It's pretty neat. I don't want to give much away for these two, because I don't know if they plan on reading or not, but, like, and it sucks because the issue one I bought digitally, and then the rest I bought paper at the comic book store, because they actually have it, and it's, I sat down the other day and read, like, three or four in a row, and I was like, dude, this thing really is kind of awesome. The artwork is so good, and I love the fact that, like, the background of the pages behind the panels is, like, notebook paper. Got all like the lines and stuff.
Matt Kent,
the texture's awesome.
Oh, I was gonna say Matt Kent has graduated to bookshelf for me, so that's why I haven't been buying the single issues.
Yeah, it's well, don't keep it on the short list because when it comes out, trades.
No, I'm going to buy it because, like I said, I loved Pistol Whip, I really liked Divinity, and I loved Red Handed. So,
yeah, it's getting more and more intriguing every week.
Have you read the Two Sisters, whatever graphic novel? It's like some spy thing, or I can't remember the title of it, but it's about the same size as Pistol Whip.
Is it Matt Kent?
Mm-hmm.
I know there's Super Spy, and I know that...
That's the one, Super Spy, yeah.
I can't find it. I've looked for it, like, every week at the store, and I never can find it.
Did you ever look on, I don't know, the internet?
Yeah, I was going to say Amazon. You've heard of it?
They've got everything from A to Z. Just look at their logo.
You guys are hilarious.
I should listen every week.
and informative.
Right. Other than that, I'm just in the middle of books, or book, I should say, so I'll leave it at that for me.
All right, well, I tried watching a movie on YouTube a few nights ago, and that was a miserable failure.
Yeah.
Has anyone ever heard of the Mario Bava movie, Danger Diabolique, based on the Italian comic book?
I've heard of it. I've never seen it, though.
I tried watching the movie because my boss is actually from Italy, and so is her husband. She's lived here since she was 6 or 7, but her husband didn't come here until he was like 18. So he grew up with Diabolique, and we started talking, and she's like, oh my God, my husband, he wants to start getting these comic books he got me as a kid. And I was like, Diabolique? And she's like, yeah, that's it, that's it. And I helped her find some for him, and then, I don't know, we've been talking about it again recently, so I decided, I'm like, I'm going to finally watch that movie. And oh my God, such a great idea and such a horrible movie. That was like 45 minutes I'll never get back. But I like the fact that the guy runs around in a super skin-tight black suit. All you see is his eyes. He looks like a ninja. Other than that, just been listening to Enslaved nonstop for the last, like, 4 days.
Right on.
I was listening to Death, actually. And 1.6 Band.
Yeah, I can't believe that was my second guess. I got it right today.
Well, when you look at the catalog of Gern Blanst. Blanston. I mean, the obvious choice would have been, you know, either one of those two.
Right.
Because the rest of the catalog is like, I don't even know what the fuck's on there.
Dude, Weston was good.
I never got into that. Well, I never even you could play a song from them and I wouldn't be able to tell because I never heard it.
Dude, I still listen to Got Beat Up like at least once a month for like a day straight.
Weston was good mid-90s party rock.
That was also when I was kind of in my like high school romance movie phase, like Can't Hardly Wait and She's All That and all that weird shit. And so it fit in perfectly with all those movies.
I still maintain that.
And I'm the weird one now.
What's the EP? What's the EP with, oh my God.
Elephant
and, yeah. What's the name of that thing?
Why you gotta put me on the spot, dude?
I don't know. That thing is the one I love the most. Anyway. Enough about Weston.
Right.
Oh. I read Lady Killer 2 today.
Oh, the New Arc. Yeah, I've not checked that out yet.
That was fucking rad. I'm just letting you know, Scott. More or less, Scott.
Yeah, just remind me on Saturday, and I'll pick.
Saturday? Yeah. Well, obviously. No, I was going to remind you on Saturday.
Word.
Don't forget to get it. Yeah, this one was. It just got better. More, some more twists and turns developed.
It's good because I like twists and turns.
No, like seriously, like I don't want to say, but yeah, like she's. She's definitely got 99 problems now.
Nice.
What if there were a lot of twists but no turns?
No, she's...
Or a lot of turns with no twisting. That'd be weird.
Come on, baby. Wait.
Oh, what? My God.
No, her problems just got... Her plate is becoming quite full. So... And, like, some things from her past are kind of... I can kind of see now are going to, like... Are going to catch up with her. So. And what else did I read? Oh boy! Sheriff of Babylon. You know, stuff like. Yeah. When the new Samurai came out, I didn't get my fix number 5 because apparently they didn't have it.
Sweet.
I don't know how. Like, I order like a week ahead and then like I go there and she's like, oh, I don't have this issue for you. Okay.
She sold it to someone else.
Basically, yeah. Well, it's like first come, first serve, so whoever like got it.
That's why you whoever the first
orders
box.
Were before me, but yeah, that's all I read. I haven't read too much of anything really.
Oh, we talked about Trump a lot at work this week.
That sounds awesome.
How'd that go?
It's a lot of crying. I'm finding out more and more people in the building that are like ready to like dive into the river and just call it a day.
I don't often post Sam Harris stuff, but I put I put a link to his most recent podcast. He talks about Trump quite a bit, and I thought it was pretty darn spot on.
Yeah, he was on David Rubin's new season kickoff episode, and they talked at length about many things. One of them being the next evolution of AI, which sounded quite scary to me. Which I
I heard about that.
The concept of general intelligence, the point where robots are so advanced they no longer need humans at all.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta die before that happens. That's gonna be brutal.
Yeah, it could get bad.
Like, he has so much information, or at least speculation on it, that I was just like, oh my god, if he's even partially right, I have to figure out a way to die right before that happens, so I don't have to live with that. Because that's not going to be awesome at all. Like, it would be better if they just turned us into food and ate all of us.
It's going to be Matrix, man.
No, it's going to be a million times worse.
Well, that seemed pretty bad as it was already.
The good news is Martin Shkreli will be just as useless as the rest of us. So in, like, the Running Man apocalypse that we're destined towards, we can all, like, totally gang up on that guy.
That'd be actually pretty cool if there was, like, a show like Running Man. That fucking what's-his-name from Family Feud.
Say that now until you're a contestant.
If I can run around in a, like, post-apocalyptic wasteland with Yaphet Kotto, I'm in. I'm just saying.
Who was the host of Family Feud? Who?
Richard Dawson.
Yeah, he was in Running Man.
Was he the guy?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's funny. I think last time I saw it, I was too young to make those connections.
He was a failed actor.
Yeah, I saw it was like in eighth grade.
He was a failed actor who became a famous game show host, famous for making out with other guys' wives, who then was a game show host in a semi-famous movie. It's like full circle.
Yeah.
Pretty meta.
I think he's probably
He played himself that. in the movie, basically.
I think his name was Richard Lawson in the movie.
It was Ditchard Rawson. Anywho,
that's like the second joke I like miserably bombed on today.
I'm surprised it hasn't been higher.
Snap. I was really busy today. There you go. That's why.
So actually, I do have one little interesting tidbit that no one will care about except maybe Damien. Is I finally finished Arrow season 3. Boom.
Oh wow! Yeah, you plowed right through those.
Yes, I did.
Dude, and I finished Arrow season 3 at the end of season 3.
Well, no, season 5 is about to start, but season 4 is not on Netflix yet, so I'm still a season behind, but I can't watch it yet. So
you want me to tell you what happens?
No, I really don't. I don't.
All right.
That
I have them on DVR.
That's fantastic. I'm very happy for you.
Oh, speaking of DVR, did anyone watch Better Things?
No.
No, but did anyone watch Son of Zorn?
No. No, I didn't know that started.
Yeah, it did.
Is it good?
I didn't see. I missed it too, but it. I heard it's not bad.
Hey, does anyone else not have TV? Oh, wait, it's just me.
No, I don't have TV either.
Oh, cool. So now I don't feel so bad.
Well, I recorded Atlanta and I recorded Better Things, and I haven't watched Atlanta yet, but I watched the first episode of Better Things, and I had like super high hopes because I love Pamela Adlon, and obviously I love Louis C.K. And I'm gonna go ahead and say I was super disappointed in the pilot. It drags, and it's really slow, and it's not funny.
Well, we're not going to interview them anytime soon.
I could have saw that coming.
Oh, I got hopes that it'll get better. It was just really slow and almost like borderline depressing the entire time.
Just like that show You're the Worst, that one looks stupid.
And that show's just not good.
Yeah.
But
all
I had
looks stupid.
I had no hopes for that show. I just watched it to see if, just so I could hate it, and I did, so... Nailed it.
It should be called We Are the Worst.
It's pretty much, that show is Californication for 20-year-olds.
Did I miss Californication? Another show I plowed through. I missed Californication.
Oh, yeah. I watched the first season. I liked it, but I never picked it up again.
I finished it not too long ago, right before I started and finished Mad Men, which was right before I started and finished The Flash, which was right before I did The Arrow. Wow. What a dork. Yeah, this whole, like, waiting from week to week to see what happens is just stupid. I'll wait for Netflix, and I'll watch it all at once. Sorry. Works.
Dude, you should watch Berserk.
Sorry about that. I'm actually halfway through with season one of Mr. Robot right now, and then because everyone won't shut up about it, I'll probably watch Stranger Things.
Berserk. I haven't watched Stranger Things yet, and I don't plan on it.
Well, I figure... That should hopefully bring me into season 4 of The Arrow being put onto Netflix, so then I can just jump right back into that And, God, what a nerd.
Just watch Berserk and Knights of Cydonia.
I think that, honestly, the first two or three episodes of Stranger Things are a little slow, but it pays off so beautifully towards the end. It's totally worth it.
Plus, I'd have to expect that Man in the High Castle is coming back soon. Think I'm behind on Americans, but...
Luke Cage, I think, came on Netflix now.
Well, it's not on yet, but it's coming.
The 30th, right?
I think so.
Because I saw a review for it already. So I assumed that it was...
They might have got it. If they're bigger, they might have got a review copy or something.
IGN.
Yeah, critics get, like, the first... Oh, yeah, they'll definitely get, like, the first three episodes.
I better check my inbox.
What a bunch of dongs they are.
How dare they get things.
Right. All righty. So I guess altars time. Yes, no, maybe so.
What?
Altars?
Sure.
Altars.
Sure.
Altars it is. Okay. So the number one for this week was my pick of Altars, which is on Aftershock, which I feel like we do a lot of Aftershock, which is kind of a good thing because a lot of their books are really good. Anywho, Altars is kind of...
mediocre.
It's kind of your basic, almost X-Men story. You know what I'm saying? It's a, you know... the human race, and you have these mutants that are starting to, you know, make themselves known, but, you know...
But with the main character having a kind of a life-changing metamorphosis going on.
Yeah, the main character has realized that he can fly now, which is why he...
and he also realizes that he is not happy as a male.
Well, he realized that a long time ago, but I don't think that's really
but he's
central...
he's going through the change.
That's not really...
He's going through the... he's taking the hormones.
Wouldn't exactly say that was, like, not the main focus of the book, but it does...
No, but it play... It's...
I was getting there. Simmer. it follows Charlie, who just learned he could fly. Now, apparently, there are... You have two groups here, kind of like, you know, and I hate to keep referencing the X-Men, but, you know, you have the one group that, you know, sensed his presence, met him somewhere, and were like, we can help you, we can keep you, or teach you how to, you know, keep yourself safe, blah, blah, blah. Meanwhile, there's the wrong side of the, you know, Altars, because they're not called mutants here, they're called Altars, and the leader of that faction, I guess the way to put it, is, his name is Matterman, okay?
Yeah.
Now, he's kind of supposedly a badass, they don't say too much about him, but they basically say that you don't mess...
He's a douche.
Yeah, you don't mess with Matterman. Now, he's actually probably my biggest issue with this book, and here's why. Once he realizes that Charlie, who's actually, when he is flying, he's dressed as a woman and he calls himself Chalice, when Matterman realizes, he's like, okay, she needs to turn herself into me and join my army, or shit's gonna go down, right? And he starts out his little threat to the world saying... If you live on the Eastern Seaboard or Ohio and West Virginia, you're screwed. But if you don't, you're free to go. Never mind this broadcast, blah, blah, blah. Next panel. Oh, yeah. Oh, by the way, the explosions in New York. Yes, Eastern Seaboard. And Dallas. No. Makes no sense. And then he wants to make an example out of somebody who he willy-nilly pulled out of Milwaukee. So it's like, you can't be like, okay, this is a threat to the entire East Coast. Everyone else, don't worry. And then be like, oh, by the way, I'm blowing shit up in Dallas. And it's like, I feel like there could have been a little... Did anyone else catch that? Or anyone not... Am I the only one that gives a shit?
Yeah, but that's like that's a typical kind of villain. He's going to go say, yeah, okay, all you people are safe. No, you're not.
Part of me thought the Dallas thing was in reference to the shootings there over the summer. But I also kind of feel like this was probably written before that happened.
Yeah, I feel like that was well in the works before any of that stuff. I don't think they're trying to portray real-life events in the story of Altars. I just think that, you know, I don't know. That just kind of was like, that kind of just, I don't know, it's a little weird to me.
See, I feel like this story taking place in the real world leaves itself open to explore actual events that happened. And that's the Dallas thing kind of, to me, was their, you know, calling out to that event.
So what was the Chicago thing?
I mean, everybody's favorite thing to do is point to how Chicago's got a shooting every.
Yeah, but
it wasn't shootings.
It was bombings. It was explosions in the book. I don't think it's related at all.
I'm spitballing here. I don't know.
But I mean,
I am not privy to the to the.
I think you're probably looking into it just a little too much.
Overall, though, the book just it centrals around Charlie, who now has to deal with the fact that he can fly. So now he's one of these alters, and he has to figure out how to keep himself safe.
He's actually, they mentioned that he's kind of a special kind of alter.
Right, and I they hinted at that too, but, well, between dealing with his life changing because now he can fly, his life is changing because he is, like Chris said earlier, he started hormone therapy to transition into a woman, but he hasn't told his family yet. He hasn't told his friends yet, and he's got to kind of break the news before he physically starts changing. So that's another, I don't want to say hurdle, but that's another thing that our main character has to deal with, along with, you know, now you got this maniac man or whatever the hell his name was, Matter Man, who's basically hunting him down. So, but and there's, I'm not going to say what really kind of triggered the weirdness as far as his power or ability or whatever you want to call it, but there's definitely something more to it than just he can fly. I don't know what it is, and it's very intriguing to me because it's not something you would typically see in, I guess, a mutant type of situation. But
His mutant DNA is kind of like off the charts or something. They make references to like that like he's actually pretty powerful compared to the other alters.
Yeah, which in and of itself is intriguing enough. You know what I mean? But it's definitely interesting enough for me to, at the very least, pick up at least a couple more and see where it happens. I don't know what everyone else feels, but feels like me and Chris.
Matter Man will fall in love with Chalice, and it's going to be kind of like the crying game.
Ooh.
I'm into that.
Well, I feel like Chris and I are kind of on the same page and hogging the conversation, so what do you guys think?
Sorry.
Well, I mean, I don't want to ramble too much, but I wanted to kind of wrap it up in a nice bow.
Right. No, I mean, I think you guys covered everything. I think I had a little issue with Matter Man as well. He kind of reminded me a little bit, and I don't know if the alliteration of his name made me think of this, but Miracle Man's villain, whose name I can't really is not coming to my brain at this moment.
Master Man?
Is that the one who's like they're throwing cars at each other?
No, I don't. I just took a wild guess. I have no idea.
No, but Miracle Man had a villain when Alan Moore was writing it, and there's this whole. Never mind. He's just this like other super powerful monster person, you know, and
if it's an Alan villain, if it's an Alan Moore villain, it's probably called Fun.
Yeah. it's been about 25 years since I read this Miracle Man book, so it's my brain is pretty sloppy with that, but for some reason that kept popping in my head as I read this. I don't know, I liked it. I like there's a new turn. I wasn't just kind of getting the criticisms of it. I wasn't a giant fan of the art, although Chalice, when she's drawn, I was like, oh, she's pretty cute. And then, but just like the way that like the normal people looked, just wasn't really my jam so much.
Yeah, there was nothing too special about it.
Yeah, the cover was really nice, and I saw that. And my shop that I went to actually, this was like the book they were featuring that week. They were recommending to everyone. So when I had a hard time finding it, and I finally walked up the counter, and it was like sitting right there at the register. I'm like, oh, you guys like this? Like, yeah, it's great, because they always try to push any sort of like LGBT kind of stuff on people that maybe wouldn't normally pick it up. I'm probably someone who would normally pick up something like that, so I was already on board. But I mean, I guess I like the story, I like the writing, I like the concept quite a bit. I'm fascinated by you guys are mentioning X-Men a lot, and I think X-Men always was sort of an allegory for that, like, you know, younger people kind of figuring out who they are in this world and having to deal with that. I mean, the Bryan Singer X-Men movies were not subtle in that whatsoever. I mean, there's that whole, like, you know, have you ever tried not being a mutant kind of thing the parents say or whatever.
Right.
Like, I'm kind of expecting that in like issue 3 or 4 of this, because that is going to be the big drama on that end. They set up a really interesting family dynamic with the one brother who's disabled.
Yeah,
and the other one's like kind of like a meathead.
Yeah, kind of a bro.
Yeah, he throws the FAG word probably around quite a bit.
Yeah, totally. I just get that vibe that there's like maybe there would be a even if the family ends up being like supportive and cool of it, there definitely would be a level of insensitivity no matter what.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I had some issues with the book, but I think in general, I'm kind of interested. Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say the one thing that stood out to me that kind of, I mean, it didn't ruin the book for me in any way, but they kind of pushed it as like, oh, this is one of the most diverse creative teams in comics today. And I kind of, because Paul Jenkins is the writer, to the best of my knowledge, he's just a normal, straight white guy. So I feel almost like maybe he's not the right voice for this character as the lead, but maybe I'm just being overly picky for no reason.
And I was going to say it's the most diverse thing when it's like, well, you know, you have like Bitch Planet is more diverse if you're going to use this as a metric of, you know, it's the comic's value.
Right. I don't want to like say, oh, he shouldn't be allowed to write these sorts of books, and I mean, I would never say that, but I just feel like saying that in reference to this book is kind of a bit I mean, I don't know the background of the other people involved in the book. I don't want to harp too much on that, because really that sort of thing doesn't bother me the way it might bother other people, but it did come to my mind while I was reading it. I was like, Paul Jenkins is, to my knowledge, just a normal, everyday, mainstream comic book writer.
Yeah, but, I mean, everyone else that works has worked on this is a woman, so I mean, I guess that's one thing, but yeah, I mean, when you to say the most diverse, it's kind of seems a little bit like maybe not totally accurate.
I don't know where you guys saw that. I'm not doubting it. I think that they say that kind of stuff just to kind of, you know, it's advertising, because people will be like, ooh, let's pick it up. It's, you know, I don't think
this book has Vogue. This book has gotten a lot of buzz, like in more mainstream online outlets, at least because of its main character and so on.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's good for Aftershock, because I mean, they're still relatively new, and this book's been talked about quite a bit in recent weeks, so.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't actually hear that, the most diverse group thing myself, so I can't speak to that exactly, but if I had heard that being a person like who I am, I probably would have been interested. So you're right, when you say it is like advertising, it kind of is. Like, it plays to the demographic that would maybe care and would continue reading it, because I hear something like, oh, there's going to be some interesting perspectives that I might not get from just a bunch of, you know, cis male creators. like I would be curious, so I would pick it up. So I mean, so if that is the case, that would make sense to me.
I will say this too, on the topic of Matter Man, on page 2 is a close up of his face, and then if you turn to, I don't know, about page 14 or 16-ish, it's a close up of his face that's exactly the same, just cropped differently. So I have a problem with that. No, I'm just kidding.
You're right, but you're right. It is the exact same drawing,
same coloring, same. They just cropped it differently. How dare you do that? Cutting corners is not the way to do things.
Not in America.
I will say this too, in terms of the artwork, the cover is one of the better ones that Aftershock has done in recent months. So for the cover to be as eye catching as this one is, and then to open it and the artwork is kind of just it's all right, kind of a bummer. Yeah. Because the cover is great.
The pink and white one?
What?
I have the pink and white cover.
I think it's the variant.
Yeah.
No, we just
have
the
LGBT variant.
We have the one where she's purple and looks like a pro wrestler. Saluting an imaginary flag that's off screen, off camera.
I actually like how she is drawn. Because if you notice, like, her chest is still kind of flat, because obviously he hasn't, you know, he's taking his hormones, so she'll get breasts then. But I like the fact that you could tell, like, the way she's drawn, like, you look at her and like, oh yeah, it is a female. But then you're kind of like, well, wait, why is she like flat chested? This is something I noticed. And then it makes the whole sense when, you know, he says, you know, Charlie says in the book, you know, I started taking my hormones, so, you know, I'm going to have to tell my parents soon. And then you look at when he's, you know, in his costume. But, yeah. I think the only problem I really have with the book is the, like, how Scott was referencing the X-Men. I found that to be kind of unoriginal.
Well, you got to figure, man. Like, anytime you try to do any kind of you know, mutant or, you know, superpower type of thing. It's going to, you know, it's already been done.
And the name Alters sounds kind of weak. I'm sorry.
I did kind of think it was going to be Alters, like some sort of arcane, like some occult thing when I first saw the name.
Yeah.
When you guys said Alters, I was like, oh, cool, Alters. And I was like, oh, Alters, gotcha.
Like, yeah, like I think it's kind of weak. That's just my
English language.
Well, I mean, I feel like they could have probably came up with a better name. I mean, I get it. We all get the name. We know what it means. But, I mean, it's like, it just sounds so plain.
Well, someone already took mutants, so you're kind of stuck.
Well, yeah, obviously, so.
I mean, I could probably think of something if I had time, but I don't have time, so. I say we number it, and then we can move this right along. Personally, like I said, just out of my handful of issues with Matter Man and, you know, artwork being kind of standard, I'm definitely going to keep going, and I'm going to give it a 7.
Wow, that's pretty low, actually.
No, it ain't. 5 is average.
No.
7 is high.
7 is average. 5 is...
Yeah, no. 7 is average. No. Yeah, I agree with Brian. 7 would be average, and 5 is, like, fucking failure.
No.
We're going more... Are you going more on, like, a school, like...
I go by the school thing.
A,
like
A, B, C, D.
Yeah, when you hit the 60% and under, and that's when you start to... It's a matter of bad to really bad to, oh, my God.
Yeah, that's how I looked at it. Whenever we did our 1 through 10s, if you give it, like, anything below 7, it's pretty much a dud.
Yeah, but anyway.
I don't... That doesn't make any sense. There's no way you can have 6 bad numbers and 3 good numbers. That doesn't make any sense.
6 is
it
not
does make
bad.
Sense, because when you got a 50% in school, it was a fucking F.
All right, we're way harping on this too much.
Yeah.
Okay, go.
Yeah, we could go. I have tons of issues with numbering things like really high, but yeah, I'm with you guys. We can do this another day.
Anyway,
go ahead, Brian.
I liked it. I didn't have any major issues with it. Character is super interesting. I'm not a big fan of his parents. I think they're talking about certain toilet behavior is not really my favorite topic in any context, so I will deduct some points for that, but I'm going to give it a 7.5.
Yeah, I'm somewhere in between 7 and 7.5, somewhere.
No, I wrote 7.5, so I guess we're in agreement, basically. I thought it was solid, and I would probably check it out again later, but... I had some issues, like enough to make, like, you know, some of my enthusiasm for the kind of the new perspective was diminished a little bit by it just not really being exactly 100% my thing. But it's still, I'm still fascinated, so I'm probably going to pick up more. I don't know. I might wait till a graphic novel, but
yeah, that's how I kind of feel. Like, I'm not gonna like be hawking it. You know, oh, is it coming out? Is it coming out? Is it coming out?
Well, alrighty then. You know what? We've been skipping the main topics a lot lately, but this week I'm looking at them, and you know, one of the topics here is basically people. Apparently, a lot of people in this country are down on manga. Now, I don't want to say anything one way or the other, but as far as this podcast is concerned, I'm the only one that ever picked one for the number one. So.
Did you read this article? Because I think you totally missed the point.
I don't think so. It's the sales are picking up, and people in, you know, let's face it, manga originated in Japan. And it says people who are, I guess, foreign to the style are still poo-pooing it because it's not as good as comic books. And I feel like that's a reference on Americans don't really get into manga. Even though the sales are picking up, it's still super popular, and this Attack on Titan sold 60 million copies in the last couple of months.
Somebody's heated over here.
I'm just saying.
I feel like I read the article and got it perfectly.
Basically, Americans haven't embraced manga, is the way I'm reading it.
Especially when you see giants devouring humans, it's actually pretty awesome.
I mean, I go to the comic book store every Saturday. Never do I see anyone looking at that section, let alone buying any. Just
well,
saying.
Maybe because of the... Some of it is kind of questionable.
You haven't read it. How do you know?
Well, no, you and I have talked about it. I mean, when you look at some of the covers of it, you're like, oh, yeah, pink, purple, It looks like it's a 12-year-old that has breast of a 25-year-old on it.
All I know, I've read a couple. I've really enjoyed them. I would like to get more into it, but I mean, I've only got so much time for reading right now, and I've got so many books piled up. You know, I even have a couple of manga sitting here ready to be
read. Busy.
You know what I mean?
Everyone, trust me, he's so busy.
I've got more than enough stuff to read.
Well, I'll tell you one thing the article talks about is that, what is it, more like half the manga readers are female between 12 and 17. My stepdaughter, who is 15, I think, 15? 16. 16. Thank you. that's all. That's like almost all she reads. Like, so I see it a lot. It's in the house. But she, I mean, so much of that stuff that she reads, she also can read Japanese, so she'll just read the original stuff. But she, you know, she's reading it in that order, like backwards, which is backwards to me.
Yeah, they go from right to left.
Yeah, and yeah, it's like that whole thing is it doesn't throw me off in a way where I like don't understand. I mean, I can totally read it backwards and not a big deal, but I think maybe I'm a little bit intimidated by it. I mean, I read a lot of. I used to read Akira in the 90s. You know, I liked that quite a bit. Love the cartoon, but once a lot of those things got to the point where I knew they were going to become cartoons, I usually would just wait. Like, Dark Horse did a lot of manga in the late 90s, if you remember. Like, they did Gunsmith Cats and, oh god, what else? Gunsmith Cats is the one that I read because I thought it looked adorable. Like, two cute girls but every issue was like gun porn. And I'm not a big gun guy, but it was just kind of interesting to see this like super hyper technical drawings of guns and in this comic about two like female cops that like to shoot people is weird. but yeah, I don't know why I didn't realize there was not many people reading that. Maybe it's in being in Seattle, which has like a really high Asian population. I feel like our shops here sell a lot of it, so there's a ton of it there. But it doesn't necessarily always appeal to me. So I guess I'm one of those people who are guilty of not really talking about manga.
I'm fully into anime and always have been.
So how did your daughter learn how to read Japanese?
School.
Yeah.
They just teach it in school?
Yeah, she decided to learn a language in junior high.
It's like one of the hardest languages to learn.
It is. It doesn't it's very, very different.
Compared to everyone else, like, you know, compared to like, you know, any other language in the world, they say Japanese is the hardest to learn.
Yeah, and Japanese borrows from Chinese a lot, too, so there's a lot of, there's certain characters and stuff that are just Chinese characters. Even though my daughter can't read Chinese or understand Chinese at all, there's certain, well, that's not entirely true, because certain characters will pop up, and she's like, well, that's a Chinese character they just use in Japan. It's like, oh, okay, so that's a whole other thing, too. I mean, Chinese is difficult because that has a tonal quality to its language. Like, there can be four words that all sound almost exactly alike, but the tone you put on them, like whether it's a little you know, up, like uptone at the end or at the beginning or whatever, come back with like completely opposite meanings. And that's very strange too. But no, she spent years learning it. She just decided that's what she wanted to do, and she's great at it. She now has an after school job teaching two Japanese toddlers English. Because she's not fluent. Like, she can't go to Japan and just blend in and have a conversation with everyone, but she can.
But she knows enough that she would be able to get around
and definitely
Tokyo.
Enough, and definitely enough to communicate with toddlers, Japanese toddlers. Like, their language skills, their grasp of Japanese is probably not as good as my stepdaughter's grasp of Japanese.
It's basically like this. If you drop me in Japan on one side and you drop his stepdaughter on another side, she would pretty much be in a lot better shape than I would be.
Well, for sure. Like, I mean, I couldn't look at a sign and tell you where the hospital would be.
I would be fucked.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, but yeah, you drop you in Italy or, you know, Spain or Mexico or something. All these languages that are based off Roman languages, Romantic based languages, you can kind of figure it out. Like,
right.
Like, I mean, I took years of Spanish, but like I hear Italian and it sounds crazy to me. I don't quite get it. But then when I really kind of sit there and listen, I can kind of start pulling it apart. I'm like, oh, they're talking about.
There's certain words,
that's,
yeah.
You know, yeah, like you can kind of, and the inflection and all that stuff, you can kind of get what's happening. It's like when a Canadian talks, I can tell that everything they're saying is a question.
Mm.
Ow, fucking cat. Jesus Christ.
Sorry, I should have put that on mute.
Yeah, I don't. That's such a weird article. I love anime. I've always loved it. Robotech, Voltron, G-Force, Ninja Scroll, Fist of the North Star.
Yeah, didn't Robotech have, like, characters who died and stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was
It was, like, a full-on drama.
Yeah, it was. It was, like, people got old and stuff.
Yeah. And when I think about it, like, because I was watching it when I was, like, in fourth grade. So I was 8, 9. I didn't really think too much of that because, obviously, I was just like, dude, when is fucking Rick Hunter going to go out and fucking get in that jet and transform?
That sweet jet with legs. So
yeah. Like, when's he going to do that? But then, like, when I got older, because I have the whole Macross series. I've watched it tons and tons and tons of times. And it's like, I watched it then. I was like, dude, I'm like, I did not know that there's this full-on fucking drama going on here. Crisscross, you know, like, a triangle love story going on. And there's, like, little innuendos and stuff like that. Like, at one part, like, there's a beauty pageant that Lin-Manmei is in. And she's only 16, and, like, Max Sterling is there.
You watch this stuff.
Oh, yeah, Max Sterling is there, and... You know, they're at the beauty pageant, and what is the other character? Oh, Ben Dixon. He goes, yeah, the thing, she's only 16. And Max Sterling goes, she doesn't look 16 to me.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I think that's I think that's always been the thing with anime and manga that's always kind of skeeved me out a bit. I remember, did anyone ever watch Azumanga Daioh?
Uh-uh.
It was like a comedy about this girl's high school. And there was this one teacher there. I can't remember the guy's name. It was, like, weirdly, like, the most adorable show ever made. And then also super perverted at the same time in a weird way. And this one teacher, like, he was always, like, staring creepily and making all kinds of weird noises whenever he would watch the girls during gym class. And there was one scene in one of the episodes where they're all, like, getting out of the swimming pool. And he's like... Does anyone mind if I drink some of the water? And I was like, oh, dude, come on. And it's, like, rated for teens. It's not, like, an adult show. There's no nudity. There's no, you know, super graphic sex or anything. But just this guy would make so many creepy remarks and, like, a lot of just staring and drooling. And it's just like, ah, dude, this is actually almost, I'd almost prefer to watch something that was straight animated porn. Because at least I'd be like, all right, well, I know what this is, but. This one guy was always fixated on staring at high school girls, and he'd always make really, really disgusting comments. And that one, that was one of those comments when I heard it, I was like, well, I'm never going to unhear that again.
Yeah, that's really super fucked up.
But I find there's, like, a lot of that in some anime, and that's always been kind of, like, one of the weird things. I was like, that always made me kind of feel a little weird watching it.
Is it true, this is maybe going a little off the rails here, but is it true that, like, you can buy, there's, like, vending machines in Japan?
With underwear?
Yes.
That's the rumor.
I was just thinking about that, too.
That's the rumor.
I've heard it.
I've never been there, but I have friends that have, and, I mean, that's kind of what I've been hearing over the years.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, that's when people go to Japan, that's generally not the first question I ask. I don't think about that kind of thing.
Hey, did you pick up some panties from the vending machine?
My drummer went there recently. He was the only thing he told me. He said it was like the cleanest country he's ever been to. Like, there's no trash anywhere. Like, everyone carries their garbage with them and takes it home and throws it away.
What did he go just to go?
His girlfriend at the time. They're not together now, but she's a roller derby girl.
Oh, okay.
And she went to Japan to train girls in roller derby.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
I went on a date with a roller derby girl once. It didn't go well, but, you know, it happened.
She shoulder check you and just get out of there?
No, it just, I don't know. It wasn't a thing. It wasn't a connection, I guess.
Yeah.
You mean Undertow or Nine Iron Spitfire or Playing Enemy didn't get to go to Japan in the 90s?
Nope, we never did. We got, Undertow got offers not that long ago, but like I said, it was not that long ago. It's to the point where we've been like, no, we're not going to do it. Like, I would love to go. When my wife and I were like,
you should have wrote them back. Said, "Yeah, could we just come but not play.
Yeah. Oh yeah, if they said like, yeah, just hang out or whatever, we would probably do it. I would have just loved to go just for the experience, of course. But no, we'd already like burnt up all of our like reunion tokens. You know, we'd done enough. Like, we can't just be one of those bands that's not really a band that just keeps cashing in on fucking free travel and that kind of shit. Like, I don't think any of us are interested in that. So no, we missed out on that, but never got to go. I love Noise so much. You know, my first Noise show I ever saw. This is going way off the rails of the article. Sorry, guys. First Noise show I ever went to in the '90s was Masana and Merzbow, both like, you know, the Goliaths of the Japanese noise. Yeah. It was the first Noise show I ever went to. I had no idea what to expect, and I showed up there, and like when I left the place, I was like, "What the fuck just happened?" Like, that was awesome. It was just so alien to me. The whole experience was so crazy.
And is Melt Banana still around?
Oh yeah, yeah. I think I played with them once. I know I've seen them a few times. I feel like I played with them. Yeah, they're great too. Oh my god, they're so awesome. Dave Whitty would play drums at the time. So that dude from
Burnt by the Sun.
Yeah, Burned by the Sun, and I think he's now in that one, like, thrash band, whatever they're called, Municipal Waste. He was in Discord and Saxis.
Yeah.
Which are great. Anyway, so there's a lot about Japan. I mean, not just the comics, but movies and
all that grind.
And the grind. The grind and the noise. There's just an extreme nature to Japan that I really appreciate. I mean, it might have something to do with having giant nuclear weapons dropped on them not that long ago. Like, so recent that many, many, many people are still alive when that happened from now, are still alive now and remember that happening. So it's got to have an effect on the culture. But that said, this article talking about why people don't talk about manga, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I would be curious. I bet there's a bunch of great stuff. My friend just tried to introduce me to One Punch Man. Have you seen that?
No, not but yet. That cartoon's going to be on Toonami on Saturday.
Okay. It's on Hulu if you have it. It's great. It's super great. It's super weird. It's like,
I'll see if it's on Crunchyroll.
One of the weirdest things I've ever seen, and I really enjoyed it. And I think it's based off a comic, that like an indie comic that from Japan that this kid did. It's super weird. It's a guy who, every time he fights a villain, he just takes one punch to beat anyone, no matter regardless of how powerful or giant they are. And it bums him out because he wants to fight and he can't get into a fight. Every time he throws a punch, he's won. He's just like, God damn it,
sucks. I won again, God damn it.
Like, he punched this monster into meat, basically, at one point with one punch. And he's just this, he looks like Charlie Brown in a cape. Like, and the art style shifts constantly between, like, looking like, you know, there's clearly, like, Dragon Ball Z references. Like, the first villain looks exactly like the bad guy from Dragon Ball Z, but green. I mean, it's full of, like, weird references. It's almost like Community or Venture Time or Family Guy, and it's a weird way of, like, referencing other things from Japanese culture. Apparently, it's, like, the number one anime in Japan right now, this One really? Punch Man. Yeah.
It's been all over Facebook recently.
Yeah, it's super weird and really, really funny.
Berserk is doing really well, too.
Yeah, but someone had to let me know that. Like, I didn't find that out. That FUBAR was, like, the most popular movie in Canada one year. Like, you know, no one here knew that, like, because we don't care what Canadians think, so. And I'm letting them have it, left and right.
Well, you gotta...
That's too hostile Canadian comments tonight.
Though, Damien, if you haven't seen that yet.
I will write that down.
It's dark fantasy. So think of, like, Game of Thrones, Dragon Slayer.
Thinking.
And you know. Soap.
So.
With Billy Crystal.
No, and it's a cross of like Conan the Barbarian, Game of Thrones, and Benson.
Awesome. Fuck, I wish that existed.
No, it's just it's a dark fantasy, you know, knights, you know, stuff, you know.
Yeah, sounds great.
And the main character, his name is Guts, and he wields the biggest sword ever. And, like, whenever anyone encounters them, they're like, dude, did you see that sword? It's bigger than him. How is he able to... And he literally just fucking, with one swipe, takes out six people, are cut in half.
I'm on board.
Yeah, it's awesome. And I just watched one episode where, like, because the show's kind of got religious and anti-religious undertones. Like, the main character Guts tells, like, this, the one character, her name is Lady Farnese or something like that. She's a complete devout, like, Christian, and he's like, tells her, like, he's like, look, you put all your faith into this God, and what does he do? Nothing. So, I found that pretty cool, and, like, I also found it pretty cool how the one bishop is, exposes her to, basically his Inquisition that he has going, and, like, that was actually really messed up, seeing how, like, they have people, like, you know, like, I forgot, like, some of the torture devices that they had used then, but, like, you know, the one where they pretty much put you down on that, like, it was, like, one big roller, and they, you know, tie your hand, and it was like, oh, the rack.
Yeah.
They sit there and stretch you out.
Oh, I know the rack.
It's one of my favorite magic cards.
But, yeah, definitely check out Berserk.
All right.
That one's awesome. I told Brian to, but he never listens to me.
I just listened to you for like 20 minutes.
Sweet. So there you go. Manga. Get into it. America.
I also like Vampire Hunter D.
I have the divid of that. But anywho. On to overrated, underrated for the week. This was movie and or TV serial killers.
Yeah, it was a good suggestion.
You're welcome.
You know, honestly, I had only one overrated pop into mind right away. It's totally low hanging, but whatever. It is what it is. Dexter.
Oh, interesting.
I feel like the first three or four seasons of that show were awesome. Was that when Trinity was on?
Fifth
After
season,
the Trinity Killer, that show just went downhill, but they kept it on because it was so popular.
Fifth season was with Julia Stiles, with the motivational speaker that...
Oh, the TikTok, the clock guy. He was all right.
I loved that season. I thought it was great.
The season with John Lithgow as the Trinity Killer was the best season, and after that, it's just been all downhill. Like, I literally haven't finished the show because once they brought in Edward James Olmos and Colin Hanks, like, I can't even finish that season. It's so bad. But people still drool all over that show for some stupid reason.
Pretty much universally, people hated the show after, like, season six, so...
Yeah, everyone hated the ending. I didn't even watch it. I had someone just tell me. I was like, you know what,
I've never watched it.
I think first season is great. I think Trinity season's great. And I like a lot of the Lumen season, when you guys are talking about with Julia Stiles.
Right.
I just had a problem with the show in general. And it's funny, when we do my underrated, this will be great. But I had problems with the show overall. I think I honestly just wish someone would reboot the show now. Even using Michael C. Hall, like, use the same guy because I think he's perfect for that character.
He was good.
He was great.
But after the first season, you're just like, I don't give a shit who the captain is dating. Like, who cares about that? I barely care about what his sister is doing in her free time. Like, none of that stuff matters at all. It's like, if it's like they made a, I mean, because Dexter is basically Batman, but like with,
but this, he kills,
with, yeah, just a slightly more effective Batman.
The only other person on that show that I really enjoyed watching every episode was Dokes, and then once Dokes was gone, it was done until Trinity.
Oh, yeah, that was so funny.
Dude,
Dokes
was awesome.
The very first time I ever saw Dokes, I was watching with my friend Tom, and we were both big fans of 6 Feet Under.
Loved it,
and you know. And Michael C. Hall's, you know, character in 6 Feet Under was gay, and his boyfriend was this, you know, big, awesome black guy.
Yep.
I like his sister in the show once referred to his boyfriend as being a giant black sex cop. And I was like, dude, that guy is a giant black sex cop. I had, when we first saw, like, Dokes be mean to Dexter, my friend leaned over. He goes, dude, different show those guys be fucking. I was like, yes, that would be awesome.
That's another show that, like, started so strong and, like, petered out towards the end, which is 6 Feet Under.
I don't think so.
I got through four seasons of 6 Feet Under. I barely made it through I struggled to get through this fourth season. I started the fifth one, and I'm like, I don't even care. Somebody had slipped and told me what happens at the end, and I was like, well, I already know what happens, and I don't care how to get there, so fuck this show.
Yeah, because right before Mad Men, I plowed right through 6 Feet Under.
First three seasons of that show were pretty close to perfect. Like Sons of Anarchy. It's another show. Three perfect seasons followed by four seasons of what ended up being one long finale. That's what I told. I was talking to some guy online today. I go, watch the first three seasons of Sons of Anarchy, and then just watch the last half hour of the last episode, and you got all of it. You don't need to see everything in between.
pretty much covers it.
Yeah, I think show writers, they do that weird thing where they obsess. They start having to obsess over minor characters. They get any sort of like attention
because
they have to start. It's like, if you made a Batman TV show, you don't want to watch five episodes of why Alfred is stressed out. Like, it's just a waste of everyone's time. Like,
yeah. I think the problem comes in with, in their head, the writers maybe have maybe three or four seasons planned out, but the network goes, this show is making us a ton of money. You need to stretch that shit out.
That's the thing. Like, none of these shows are making that kind of money ratings-wise anymore. None of them are. The most popular shows on TV get like a small percentage of the ratings, like say The West Wing did in their prime.
Or yeah, like now the most popular shows are Netflix originals and Amazon originals.
No, that's the thing. There really is no such thing except for The Walking Dead.
Daredevil.
There's really like no shows that can truly be considered popular anymore because there's so much. Everybody's watching so many different things. Everything just buzzed about for a while, and then it goes away, and then it comes back, and it's a completely different. Like when Dallas was on, like 40 million people were like into it every week for the entire run. The 10 episode arc where JR was getting pants made specifically for him, like people were like affixed to it. But there was like three other shows on, so. But now there's like 7 billion options at any time. I just think they will like long seasons, so they have. I don't know, a reason to put out a DVD box set with a little cardboard house made of, I don't know.
Right. So, yeah, anywho, overrated, Dexter. Nailed it.
That sucks, too, because I loved that show in the beginning.
Yeah, so did I.
First five seasons, I contend, were great. I have two. I'll go with one, and then if my other pick doesn't get picked, I'll circle back around. I'm going to pick Ghostface from Scream.
Oh.
Because
I thought about that.
That movie was so, like, hyped when it came out, and I remember you guys dragged me to the theater to watch it. And aside from one scene when Henry Winkler dies, like, that whole movie, I hated every second of it. I hated the killer. I hated all the people around the killer. I wanted everybody to die, like, within the first 10 minutes. And the fact that only a few people did, I just hated that movie so much.
See, now, like you just said, when that movie came out, I liked it. I thought it was done really well. But what ruins movies like that is, well, that did really well, so let's make 2, 3, 4, 5. We'll turn his mom into the killer, and then the one after that, the neighbor's dog will become the killer. Like, no.
Well, now it's a TV show,
and that's
too.
Where you ruin. That's how you ruin that shit.
MTV turned it into a series.
MTV should just go away.
I thought they did. I don't even think that network ever.
Here's a little interesting tidbit about MTV. I heard on the radio the other day that they are launching a music channel.
They already did. It just came out a few weeks ago.
Yeah. Okay, so it's a few weeks old. But yeah, they figured, I don't know, maybe since they haven't played a music
video. But it's
video.
Not really it's not a proper music channel, though. It's a channel to play all the classic MTV shows, some of which will be music video related. But like, it's all like Beavis and Butthead and Daria and all the shows that were popular in the 90s.
Okay, never mind. I thought they were actually putting out a music station.
No, there will be music on there. There'll be like blocks of music videos on occasion, but it's pretty much all just going to be classic MTV shows that they are not going to waste time on the main channel right now. So
they play Liquid Television stuff on there?
Maybe.
That stuff was good.
The only thing I used to watch a lot was pop-up video, because even if the music was terrible, like, it was just interesting tidbits.
Mm-hmm.
I like interesting tidbits. That's why I like that Scale the Summit video where they did the pop-up video for it. It's pretty interesting. If you haven't seen it, I recommend it.
I never knew I could like so many weird information factoids about Rick Astley as I do right now.
Right?
He's never going to let me down.
Nope.
Dork. Dude, what if this entire election is we're going to be Rickrolled?
I think that's
when he takes his vow, Trump's going to rip off a mask and it's going to be never going to give you up.
That would be great.
The most elaborate Rickroll in the history of Rickrolls.
It would be a much better ending to what was probably just going to happen, which he's just going to, like I said, there will be a white supremacist with fucking nuclear codes in a couple months.
Yeah.
Who says using nukes in Europe is not off the table? So there you go.
Yeah, and said he's going to dismantle the FDA, so that's pretty awesome. I predict that there will be some 20-year-old intern that he'll have the hots for, and he'll try to be impressive, so he'll prop himself up on the desk and sit on the button that launches the nukes. But he won't have any intent to do so. It'll just be like, so, tell me about how college was. What's that? Oh, no. That's not good.
Maybe he will be proved to be so incompetent that everyone else in the government just treats him like Vinny Stigma. Like you know, Vinny Stigma and his wireless guitar. You've heard about that?
No.
Who was it? Freddie from Madball had said that Vinny got so bad at guitar at one point when he was in Madball that they gave him a wireless guitar, and all it was a pack of cigarettes duct taped to his strap with his cord, with his cord going in. And he would just be up there jumping around, and the other guy would be playing all the guitar parts. I'd heard this because when I was on tour in Europe, Madball had just gone through, and they were talking about how Freddie, like, one day finally just let Vinny have it. He was just fucking done. He's like, Vinny, you're so fucking stupid. Like, just couldn't take it anymore, how stupid Vinny was.
We all noticed that when they played the Fireside. What was that, 95, 94?
Sure, I don't have a clue. I have no idea.
You weren't there when Vinny Stigma just kept saying, Dicka, Dicka, Fridge, Fridge.
Not at all.
Okay.
I was definitely not there for that.
All right.
Yeah, I don't think I would have gone to a Madball show myself, but I certainly was fascinated by the
I do like Ball of Destruction and Drop Many Suckers. That's for the 2 7-inches, but that's it.
I had the Drop Many Suckers one, and of course, immediately a little DMS collective popped up here in Seattle. I was like, oh, great. Collective, I call it, a gang of idiots.
That's usually what they are.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess it's my turn.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say Michael Myers.
I thought somebody might.
Well, for one, he's human, right? So why the hell does this fucker keep getting back up?
It's the same thing you're talking about with all the Scream movies. Like, the first one is great, and for what it is, he's a great, great villain in that movie.
Right.
And then he has to become, like, a cartoon character. He's like a...
So is he a demon, then? Or is he a ghost? Like, what is Michael Myers, then? I want to, I was kind of thinking that, like, it was either a toss-up between him and Jason, but I let Jason go because he has a goalie mask on.
Yeah, and Jason only has, like, 13 movies, whereas Michael Myers has 3.
True.
Reboots, Brian. Reboots.
Yeah, because you can't count Halloween 3, Season of the Witch, because
he's not
it had
it.
Nothing to do with him.
I'm going to go ahead and say it.
And the first two was basically one movie, part one and part two.
If you take away the Halloween 3 part, Season of the Witch is actually not the worst horror movie of all time.
I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying it just had nothing to do with him.
Oh, no, it absolutely does not. But it's pretty good, though, for what it is.
Oh, yeah, because you wear those masks and you watch TV and all of a sudden fucking maggots are coming out of your face.
I just like the fact that company that made those masks were like ancient druids or whatever. At least from what I remember.
I never saw this.
You never saw that? Halloween 3, Season of the Witch?
Yeah, it's like there's this company, and I want to say they're based out of Indiana. They make these Halloween masks, and they pitch it like, oh, you put the mask on, and then we play this song at this specific time, and like something happens, and all these kids are buying these masks, and what happens is the mask pretty much eats their face.
Yeah.
And it's like some ancient druidian ritual that's all behind this Halloween mask phenomenon, but the movie has nothing to do with Michael Myers at all. But actually, is not if you like I said, you take the Halloween 3 part off, just call it Season of the Witch. It's a pretty good movie, actually, from what I remember. Actually, I'm probably telling you that, and you're gonna watch it and go, that movie was fucking terrible, and I'll be like,
well, my 8, 9 year old or 10 year old self was actually scared when I saw
that movie. So. Scared the fuck out of me when I saw it the first time. When that fucking mask like burned that woman's face, I was like,
"Well, yeah, because you got like fucking worms and shit coming out." Then,
yeah, that shit definitely had an effect on me when I was like 9. Now I don't know; I might not think it's that awesome, but back then it was pretty effective.
I left Freddy because he was dead, so I mean, I could see why he comes back. And actually, him killing people through dreams is actually kind of cool. And Leatherface is... he's just fucked up, period, so...
All right, it's Michael Myers.
Okay, go ahead, Damien.
Oh, sweet. I went with Hannibal Lecter as being overrated.
I was thinking about him, too.
I was, too.
Yeah. I figured one of you guys actually would have done it already. I don't know. I mean, I think he's fine. I mean, like we talked about it a few weeks ago or a couple weeks ago. I like Silence of the Lambs. I actually like the character of Hannibal Lecter. But I will say, like, to those people who are like, oh, that guy skews me out. Like, you know, I still have those Answer Me books. You know, there's that whole issue just on serial killers. Like, I have all that stuff. I'm obsessed over a lot of those things. I mean, I was really into noise in the 90s. I know a lot about the serial killers. You know? And so by the time, like, Hannibal Lecter, like, when he's there, it's just, he's like the Broadway version of a serial killer.
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah. So I mean, sure, in real life, that would be absolutely scary if you happen to find yourself in his web. Of course, you know. But he's kind of lightweight, you know. He does things for, like, these sort of, like, big, understandable reasons. We're like, oh, he killed the violin player because he's played out of tune. And we all, like, kind of chuckle at that. Like, ha, ha, ha. You know, what a snob. But, you know, that's not really scary. Like, what's scary is those people – what's scary about, like, serial killers and that sort of thing is the randomness of it or
– the way it is done.
Yeah, like, or just, you know, when you put yourself in that position. And so I guess being a guy who's never going to be in the – Philadelphia Philharmonic, and I'm never going to hit a rotten note. Hannibal Lecter does not, like, rate high on what's scary to me. Like, I don't think he's going to, like, come into my frame shop and be mad that there was a little dust under the glass or something and then, like, tie me up and Clarice. Feed me to cockroaches or something. Like,
Clarice.
Yeah, like, his sort of, like, I guess I'd say, like, extremist, you know, perfectionism or whatever, like, doesn't really scare me. So he doesn't really scare me. Like, I get it. And
he's like the weird uncle. He's your weird like artsy uncle.
Not my uncle, man. I don't have any uncles that would care about stuff like that. So anyway, so I chose him. I enjoy those movies myself. No real problems in general, but I barely consider them horror movies, and I barely consider him a monster.
Just while we're on the topic of cannibalistic serial killers, did you ever read My Friend Dahmer?
I never did, no.
Nice. What a title for a book.
Well, it's a comic, right? It's the guy who did Punk Rock Trailer Parks or whatever.
Yes, Durf Backdurf.
Yes, I love that guy's stuff. I haven't read the My Friend Dahmer one, though, but I like that guy's art, and I thought that Trailer Parks Punk Rock book was great.
That book gave me the willies so much more than Silence of the Lambs could have hoped to on its best day. And that book is drawn in a really, like, childlike manner, which makes mm-hmm. some of the panels really effectively creepy. The way, because, I mean, you find yourself reading this thing, and you find yourself sympathizing with Jeffrey Dahmer way more than you expect. And it's
interesting.
It's disturbing, and that book, like, I loved it. I let people borrow it. I'm like, you have to read this. This thing is genius. It's the fucking greatest thing ever. All the factoids in the back just made it even more, like, unnerving. Like, there were parts of that book that were creepy. There's only one scene of actual, and it's not a scene of murder, but there's, like, a post-murder scene in there. There's only really one in the whole book. But there's scenes before that leading up to it that are so much more disturbing than the aftermath. I cannot recommend that book enough. I think everybody should own it.
I will totally check it out. Like I said, I like the guy's art. I like the guy's writing, so it's been on my list. I will totally read it.
Yeah, it supposedly is going to be made into a movie. I don't really know how I feel about it because I hold the book in such high regard. I don't want the movie to ruin it. Not that it'll ruin the book, but I don't want the movie to be a poor adaptation.
Right.
Anyway.
Okay, moving on to underrated. I actually was, I'm going to go with Brian Rod on this one, where I have two, but I'm only going to name one right now, just in case. And if anyone else, blah, 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 snorbity, bibbity, bobbity, boobity. My underrated, I feel I have to go with Patrick Bateman.
Okay.
I feel like, yes, that movie is really highly rated. And for those of you that don't know, we're talking about American Psycho. Christian Bale's character is Patrick Bateman. But I feel like that movie is still technically considered, it's like a cult classic. Most people probably have never heard of it. It's the way I feel about that movie right now.
My favorite part of that entire movie is when they're sitting around, I guess in that, I don't know, maybe it's like a yacht club or some kind of fancy rich guy's cigar
lounge. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, and they're all sitting around talking about, well, this girl did this, and this girl puts out, and blah, blah, blah. And then he does the whole thing, and he brings up Ed Gein. I won't say the line because I don't want to butcher it, but that is the greatest thing ever.
Yes, I agree.
You know, I want to take her out, wine her, dine her, get her flowers, you know, do all those romantic things. And then I sometimes wonder what her head looks like on a stick.
And the way he like says it, and then he's all like, and they're all like mortified. It's the best.
They're not even mortified. They're like, okay, that's weird. Anyway, so back to golf. Like, they just totally were dismissive of the fact that he not only found this funny, but, you know, was actually doing this stuff.
Right.
Pretty awesome. I love that movie. Mine's going to be super obscure, so, woo, strap in. I picked Frank Wyler from the movie.
Frank
Wyler from the movie.
Oh, wait. Let me think. Go ahead. I don't got it.
The movie, the American translation is Beyond the Darkness. It's an Italian movie made by Joe Dante. No, not Joe Dante. That's the wrong one. He had like 50 million aliases. I forget the guy's actual name, but it's a movie about this guy who's kind of a weirdo, like a rich. He inherits a bunch of money. He's got this mansion. His parents, I think, are dead, and he's got this girlfriend, and somehow she dies. And he's so distraught and upset, so he digs up her corpse, and he's also a taxidermist, kind of casually. So he digs up her corpse and stuffs it and sleeps with it at night.
I was going to say humps it.
Yes, he does, as a matter of fact. And he's got this super creepy maid that always tries to breastfeed him, and he finds himself constantly kidnapping people and murdering them in his basement and drowning them in acid and all throwing him in the fire and everything, and super, super rad.
What movie is this?
Beyond the Darkness.
Oh.
It's an Italian movie from like the late 70s.
Oh.
Super disturbing and awesome.
And I have it, so we can watch it this weekend if you really want to.
You will throw up.
No, I will not.
You will throw up and you will hate us forever.
No, I won't watch it.
But Frank Wyler, get into it. And you never know he's a serial killer by looking at him. He looks so unassuming.
Yeah, just while you're talking about, I was looking at pictures. He looks like the greatest American hero.
Yes, he does. Oh, Frank Wyler.
All right, Chris, what's yours?
John Doe.
What?
Well, that sums that up.
Seven.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Okay.
Kevin Spacey.
He is a good one. I was thinking, like, for a second when you said that, I was like, well, doesn't everyone love that? And I was like, you know, I don't actually hear many people talk about that anymore.
Like, especially the one for Lust. I thought that was fucked when I saw that movie.
Oh, yeah, it was horrible. The actor who played that guy, his one like, thing he does is freak out really well.
Oh, yeah, he did.
I think he's in Alien Resurrection. And he does essentially the exact same thing where he just freaks out in the same kind of way. And he does a great job. Like, he's totally... Like, whoever that guy is, he's the best freaker-outer in the business.
Well, he's got a sword fixed to his penis, basically. And he was made to rape a hooker. So, out of all... And then I like the one where they... As serial killer goes, he did a lot. He did a lot of fucked up ones.
Yeah, that was
He fed a guy to death. Until his stomach ruptured.
Yup.
Well, the hooker, she pretty much died from a switchblade penis. But, I mean, yeah, those were some really messed up ones. So that's why I picked him.
The guy who I'm talking about, the actor's name is Leland Orser. I had to look it up real quick. Everyone will recognize him because he's been in a million movies.
Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah, I totally know who he is.
He's on Ray Donovan. Yeah, he's been in a bunch of things, but he is the best freaker outer in the business.
And that's what he did. He freaked out.
Sweet. Damien?
My underrated is Dexter. Because I think that character got ruined in everyone's eyes because of how bad that show got. And I think the character and the actor and the story, the killer, the narrative, everything is really great. Really, really great. Like, it's actually kind of amazing that the people who made that show fucked it up as bad as it did. They almost deserve a award for screwing up a character that essentially writes itself.
Yeah.
Like, they just tried all to put as much in the way of this great idea as possible. And they did a fantastic job of screwing up an amazing property. And I think Dexter can live on. It's to the point where I've said this myself, but I've heard other people say this. Like, you see something in the news, like that Blake asshole, can't remember the kid's last name. I almost don't want to even say it, but that, well, I guess I kind of do want to say it, but that kid who got like a month jail for raping that girl.
Yeah.
Brock Turner is the guy's name you're thinking of.
Yeah, Brock Turner, yeah. Those kids that, you know, raped that, like, teenage, like, young teenage girl at, like, a frat house, and they all got a year in prison, and the kid who exposed it is going to get, like, 6 years or something.
16, I thought it was.
Oh, 16 years in prison for, you know, someone said, like, oh, so you can, so illegally entering someone's computer gets you 16 years, while illegally entering someone's daughter gets you one.
Yeah, that kind of shit is just disgusting in this country. The way that it's so just downplayed.
Yeah, exactly. And I hear that it's like I hear people say it. It comes from, like, you know, our poor, broken ability to communicate. A lot of everything we all say, I mean, regardless of who we are, we do communicate through pop culture a lot of times. And I hear people say, like, "God, where's Dexter when you need him?" You know, it's like he's our avenging angel, and he's a monster, and he's horrible. But he's horrible in the way that a hurricane is horrible, you know?
It's a force of nature that can't be stopped.
Yeah, like, it's going to do what it's going to do. And, like, the Dexter, like, the father cop recognizing the inevitability of who his adopted son is going to be, and then training that son in how to keep himself safe, like how to defend himself, how to be strong, how to fight, how to use weapons, how to, like, operate cars. Like, he basically created a psychotic Batman. So I think the character is a million times cooler, even though those seasons, like, the first season was good, the Trinity season was good, all those things, those were good. It's still, none of those were still as good as it could have been if it was handled even better.
Well, they always said to shoehorn real life and love and relationships into the mix.
See, I thought some of that actually made the show more intriguing.
When they got him involved with who he ended up marrying and she ended up dying, like, that was an interesting dynamic of the show, but no, like he said earlier, no one cares about who his sister's dating or who Captain Batista's going out. He's dating the captain on the side, like, I feel like every show has to have that love interest or love triangle, and it's just like, it doesn't always need to be there.
I was speaking more of the British woman in the second season.
That too. Well, but that fits because it revolves around him and his inability to connect with people, which...
No, but that's what made the second season so great was he was, the whole time he was kind of going through the whole, you know, I found somebody that can understands the real me.
Right.
That was, I don't know. Plus, she was great.
So. No, I never said that wasn't interesting. I'm just, everyone else's stories, like, you're clouding the main story with just bullshit.
I liked seeing Keith Carradine get some action from a younger woman. So,
well, that is important for everyone to know, though. That should just be a show. There should just be a show of cool older guys getting with, like, young girls. Wait, it is a show. It's porn.
Nailed it.
No, Keith Carradine was great. There was a lot of great stuff on that show to like. I mean, there was so much. But I still feel like that sort of, like I said, the kind of avenging angel character. There's that guy in Alaska who hunts pedophiles with a hammer and just got arrested. You heard about that guy?
No.
No.
He got arrested. He's going to be in jail for, like, you know, 10 years or something like that. But his whole shtick is he would go and hunt pedophiles because you could find out, like, you know, sex offenders online. And he would hunt them down and beat them with a hammer almost to death. And he would say stuff like, "I am here because, you know, society hasn't done what it needs to with you." I mean, that sort of vigilante stuff is insane. I mean, we all talk about Batman in the real world. Like, we all know, like, oh, well, yeah, Batman in real life, you know, he should absolutely be in prison. Like, like, that's not how things work. But, I mean, that there's something so attractive about justice being dealt out in such a visceral way that I think we all sort of react to that, and it's like, it definitely, like, cues into our most animalistic thing. And there's something about the Dexter character who is essentially a superhero. He has to hide who he is. He has, like, a secret identity. He He's got a he has a superhero costume he puts on, those cool dark clothes, the gloves. You know, he's essentially just a superhero. The show was a superhero show. But, you know, again, it's like having a show about Superman and then spending like an entire arc expending the entire B arc on like Jimmy Olsen maybe losing his job or something. Like, it doesn't matter. No one cares. Like, I don't care why Jimmy's sad. I do care about, like, you know, being specific about Dexter. Like, I understand his sister, you know, having a relationship with a crazy person and how that's going to affect her. And I understand how that's going to affect Dexter. Like, I get that. Like, his inability to be empathetic, but knowing he needs to be, like, that was fascinating to me. Like, him, his girlfriend, his original girlfriend, who later was his wife, Julia Benz, from Buffy the Vampire Slayer fame.
Yeah.
I thought that was great. Like, the whole idea that he starts a relationship with a woman who has no interest in sex ever because he doesn't. And I thought that was awesome. And I was, even though I thought the second season was not bad, I really wish they had kept that going because I don't want to know about Dexter and his sex life. I thought it was great that he was broken. I guess I didn't like how they tried to humanize him more and more. I thought when they took that, when the Trinity case happened, I thought that was like, reason I love that so much is I thought they'd humanized Dexter to a point where I accepted it, and then when the Trinity thing happened, they took all that from him, and then he was left with the shambles of what humanizing him had done. Like, it was a weakness to him. Like, becoming more of a real person was not good. So it didn't work good for him. It didn't work good for other people. So I don't know. I just thought there's a lot that could happen with that show, and still is. But we'll see. I have a feeling they'll probably never do anything with it.
I doubt it.
That the becoming a lumberjack thing, I think, kind of ruined it.
Well, now I don't need to see the rest.
No, you don't. You don't need to see the rest.
No,
that's
started.
That's what happens.
We started the sixth season, and I got about five episodes in, and I'm like, I don't know what's happening here, but I hate every minute of it, so I think I'm done.
Yeah, it should be treated. They should reboot Dexter. They should put him in like 1950s, and like put him in 1950s, like in Detroit or something, and let him just go wild on the worst parts of America. And I think that would be amazing to watch. I'd watch it every week. They should put him in prison for a while, like see how he would thrive in prison. Like,
put him in Birmingham in the South during the civil rights era, where he starts taking cops in their home and cut their heads off.
That'd be actually pretty sweet, watching him kill like Klan members.
Absolutely. Wouldn't that be amazing? That's what we want to see. We want to send like a giant eraser, you know, back in time and take out those things. So anyway,
If only we could.
Anyway, that was my pick, and for those reasons that I think there's so much potential, and I think people have written him off because of how bad the show ended. Like, it ended so poorly that it actually eclipsed all the good stuff in the show.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
If I ever finish it, I'll be able to, you know, honestly agree with that. But until then, I'll just agree with it because that's how I felt already. So, yes. And my honorable mention comes from a classic horror movie from 1970 called The Wizard of Gore, and the man's name is Montag the Magnificent. The only serial killer I can think of who would murder his victims in front of a live audience, and they would be none the wiser. That's intriguing as it is. You know what I mean? Great movie, if no one's ever seen it. The effects are absolutely amazing.
Phenomenal movie.
Yes. All right. So, moving right along. Best thing ever for the week. I am going to go with the fact that I put a Keurig in my office at work. Is the best thing ever. This lady I work with is, I don't know if you guys are familiar, but there's these people who have these weird Facebook groups that they just sell shit to each other. It's almost like a Facebook group, but it's almost like Craigslist. It's weird.
Yeah, we have a Seattle gear swap thing where all the musicians like post stuff they're selling. It's the best place to sell stuff.
Pretty much like that, yeah. So she's on there and she's always buying just, you know, shit for the house or whatever. And I told her, oh, hey, if you ever come across another Keurig, because she got one for her house for like $20, I'm like, let me know. You know, so she texted me this morning. And she's like, hey, found a Keurig. It's $30. You know, it sat in this lady's office. She was like a doctor. It was like, you know, sat in the waiting room, and it's, you know, whatever. So I looked at it. I'm like, hell yeah. Tell her I want it. I picked it up on lunch today, and it's like, it's newer than the one I have at home. So the one I have here cost me like $120. So this has got to be like a $150 Keurig I got for $30. You know what I mean? Little soap, little water, bada boom, bada bing. I got a Keurig in my office. No more Maxwell House for this guy. You know what I mean? Yeah.
That's awesome. No more Folgers.
Amen, dude. It's so bad, but like in a pinch, you have no choice.
Hills Brothers?
Yeah, no, our office is full of Maxwell House. It got to the point where I would grind my beans here in the morning, bring them to work so I can make a pot of coffee for me. And then a couple of people were like, yeah, I like that. Tell me when you're making a pot because I want it on that shit. So I'm just like, screw it. I'll just buy a Keurig, put it in my office, and just bring your own pods. Boom. Problem solved.
Yeah, you could get some nice pods for those things, too. My dad's got one. He gets good stuff.
I agree. And it can appease everybody. So, yeah, that's mine.
Right. My best thing ever for this week is my boss went to Italy for 2 weeks to visit her mother. And while she was there, she sent her husband on a scavenger hunt to random comic books in the southern part of Italy. Rather, she sent him on a scavenger hunt to comic book stores and random used bookstores. And she brought back a graphic novel of Diabolique, all in Italian, for me, which I thought was pretty awesome. Because she actually brought back some comics for two of the other guys in the office, and they kind of reacted like, oh, that's cool, I guess. But like when she showed me the one she got me, I was like, oh my god, it's in Italian, it's the greatest thing ever, oh my god. Like I was super stoked, because I jokingly said, hey, bring back some Diabolique for me when you go, and I didn't expect her to, and she did, which was awesome. And she's like, oh my god, if I knew you were going to be that excited, I would have bought you way more. And I'm like, you didn't have to get this for me.
You can just go back then.
I'm kind of stoked because I want to sit there with Google Translate and try to read it in Italian and maybe pick up a few things. So,
here's what you do. You go into Google Translate. You type in the entire page. Then play the translated side. And then you can have it read it to you as you're going down the page.
That's the plan.
No, I mean not you typing in, reading it off the screen and going back and forth. I mean, you let the computer read it to you.
Thank you for telling me what I was already going to do.
Shut up. And Chris.
Nothing.
And Damien.
Nothing. Vice has a new music website called Clairvoyant. I think it's Clairvoyant without any vowels.
Sounds religious.
It's not. So it's like Vice's. I think it's like Vice's like kind of heavy music thing now. My buddy Andrew Bonazzelli runs it. He used to be the managing editor for Decibel magazine, and he had me do this thing they do on the internet. It's like they do little videos of. It's called Good Bands Telling Bad Jokes. So I had to film my bad joke today, and I did.
Nice,
cool.
I want to see that. It was fun. When it's up, I want to see it.
Yeah, I'll post it to Facebook.
All right, cool.
It's a bad joke.
Well, alrighty then. That will wrap us up for the week. And seeing as though we're being a little proactive, our number one for next week is going to be Doom Patrol. Right?
Yes.
So,
yeah.
There you go. You guys can...
Got a free one to cover.
Everyone can go buy it. And you can listen to us talk about it next week. You can tweet us what you think, and we'll read your stuff on the air, all that cool kind of stuff. So, until then, you can find me on Twitter at XSourceNX. You can find Brian at Pure Rock Fury. You can find Chris at SkateXEdge. And you can find Damien at Damien Johnston. And don't forget to check out our Facebook at facebook.com/reviewandroast. And until then, have a good week.